Welcome, everyone, to the RPG Goblin, a TTRPG exploration podcast where we have on guests, we talk about games, and we have a great time. I am your host, Willow, and I am the resident goblin and the one who asks all the questions. I like to talk, and I love games, and so here we are. On today's episode, we are actually going to be talking about a game called Nove Archaic, which I'm very, very excited about because this is a game that I have been seeing being worked on and in development. And Kyle's actually in my Discord and we've been able to talk about all kinds of stuff with it. And that's been really fun. And so we're going to talk about it in today's episode. And we're going to be talking about like Kyle's journey through game design and what Nove Archaic is and all of that fun stuff. But yeah, like I said, our guest today is Kyle, who is the developer of Nove Archaic. And Kyle, if you would like to give yourself an introduction to everyone, tell them where they can find you and find Nove Archaic and all of that cool stuff, go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Technomancer Kyle here, or just Kyle, or YF Techno, or a whole bunch of other things I go with online. you can normally find me on, a lot of social medias, either as YF Techno or Technomancer Kyle. I'm on Discords, which I do have my own Discord, which has all of the news and development stuff that I normally put in there, mm-hmm. Kind of updates, as well as just casual talking, and where I will be organizing a lot of, or where I do organize a lot of playtests and whatnot, yeah, of both my personal systems and other games.
Yeah, no, and that's awesome. And all of those links, of course, will be in the description of this episode for ease of finding and all of that fun stuff. Though I do have a question. Why YF specifically?
Okay. That has nothing to do with my role-playing things. That is my cringe gamer tag from back in the day. back when I was like 11 or so, and online gaming was becoming more of a thing, and especially for me, but it actually stands for your favorite technomancer, or your friendly technomancer.
I love it.
because, well, it's from, based upon like some old YouTube personalities, as well as I really liked, I grew up with Spider-Man, and just the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, just always that long title always meshed well with my heart. It was like, yeah, I want something like that. And then I just shortened it to YF Techno.
Love it. Oh, that's really fun. I've been curious about that for a while. And so I'm like, okay, perfect opportunity on the spot.
Yeah, a lot of people just shorthand call me Techno, or now, because I just started coming out and just being like, just call me Kyle, Technomancer Kyle.
Technomancer Kyle, yeah, absolutely. And so I'm curious if did Technomancer come from Starfinder at all, or was that from something else?
It was before then. So I've always been into computers and whatnot. And when I was really young, I started to get so into that, but I also liked the concept of magic, and I was just like, you know, it'd be really cool is if like magic but with technology, and that just kind of became my thing, even to where as I started to study when in college, I started studying information technology and computer science and all that, and I just kind of like started telling people like, yeah, no, if you just think about it in certain ways, like the fact that we have programmed, like we have forced rocks through the power of electricity to think, yeah, we're kind of performing magic when we make machines.
You're not wrong, though. Like, no. I mean, they feel like magic. Like, I've more recently been learning a lot more about computers. I had to, like, build my own PC and all of that stuff. And so I've been learning a lot more, and it does feel like magic, especially when people who know so much more than me start to talk about it. And I'm like, I don't know anything about what you're saying. This is like,
I used to joke that there's like a bell curve, of like on one end of the spectrum. Both end of the spectrum. You have people that believe that technology is magic, and then there's the middle ground where people are like, no, it's science. There's no magic. And it's like, yeah. But like once you start knowing more, you're like, well, hold up.
It's kind of magic. No, I love that. No, that's so cool. And actually, I'm curious, you know, has that, like, influenced any of your experience within, like, TTRPGs at all? You know, wanting to combine magic and technology together, since that's something you've been fascinated by?
Yes, as a problem. so, like, there's been times where, like, I've been wanting to do, say, a proper technomancer, combining mm-hmm. magic with technology. But then sometimes I hit that barrier of design where it's like, it's doable, but it's not really doable, you know?
Yeah.
like, one of my experiences, I think it was Shadowrun 5th edition? Or maybe 4th? I don't remember exactly which one. Technomancer as an option. That's all I remember. I wanted to do technomancy. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was kind of cool, but it just felt like a hacker that can wirelessly connect to a device. And I'm like, that's neat in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of a technomancer, I'm not necessarily thinking of that. Mm-hmm. And ironically, that's kind of my problem with the Starfinder version of technomancer as well. Not that specific problem, but it wasn't what I imagined when I thought of technomancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Starfinder, don't get me wrong, I love Starfinder. It's a great system. but when I went in and started reading it, I'm just like, this is just a wizard with a tablet.
of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, right, I would imagine, like, something different as well. I, you know, I've read a little bit of Starfinder and I've gone through the classes, which is why I'm kicking myself that I didn't remember Technomancer was from, or not from Starfinder, but it is in Starfinder, because I was literally mm-hmm. reading through it, and that was one of the ones that did interest me the most. But yeah, it feels like it should be something more than wizard with technology.
Right. And, like, I kind of get where they was coming from a design point. They wanted mm-hmm. to have a space wizard, and mm-hmm. Technomancer just kind of fit that bill. Mm-hmm. But it definitely wasn't what I had imagined when I had heard the title.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not a bad class. It's not bad thoughts. It's just not what I expected.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I mean, like, I even said this to some of my friends when I was looking through Starfinders, that Technomancer just sounds like one of the coolest things in general. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just such a badass name, like a Technomancer. Why wouldn't you want to be a Technomancer? Yeah. Like, that sounds hella cool. No, love it. I love it. That's so cool. But yeah, no, this is great. Nerd time. Love it.
love nerd time.
It's always the best. I mean, that's why it's always great doing these episodes. I get to nerd out and not, like, have my family just be like, uh-huh. I'm like, okay. but yeah, no, I really would love to, though, actually get into some of the reasons why you actually got into game design and maybe even a bit of your history in TTRPGs, just to kind of, like, establish the stage here before we get into Nov Archaic.
So, yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and give the introduction to Kyle 101 tabletop history snippet thing. So I started into tabletop RPGs back in D&D 3.5 time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because I was a young kid. I was over at a friend's. His uncle had the 3.5 or 3.0 book.
Mm-hmm.
And I just seen it. Well, my friend was playing WoW, World of Warcraft. He was playing WoW. I just seen the book and nerd brain was like, what the flip is this? So I grab it, start reading, and I'm like, this sounds so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Never got to play it until closer to middle school, because that was mm-hmm. Actually in elementary school when I had read it. And then when I got into middle school, met a couple of friends. They got it. They was pretty into it. Of course, 3.5 era mm-hmm. still. But they was starting to get into, like, homebrewing, and that got me interested because I was like, oh, wait, I could take things that are in this book and be able to make my own options that kind mm-hmm. of hits the narrative that I want to hit.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really badass. and I did some really horrible homebrew at that time. But, yeah, kept going. Continuing slowly, joining random groups, having mm-hmm. random experiences, till about college. I had moved in with a friend, And at that time, I was started to get into really a lot of indie games. I became known as kind of the indie dude of tabletop in that year, 2012. and I,
you never want to reflect on years, no.
Oh, gosh. I was really big on, like, you know, if you want to do a certain game, do it. Like, if you look for a good system that can do it, if you can't find one, just hack one together.
Yeah.
I was really big into using GURPS as a Rosetta Stone. I've said this multiple times in multiple things to kind of like do weird design jumpings between multiple different systems. And that was just kind of like my thing. And I was complaining to one of my friends at that time in that year of like, hey, I really want to be able to run a modern day tabletop game that feels good. Because D20 Modern doesn't feel good to me. I had a lot of gripes. I'm not going to get into those gripes. But of course, we all, you always design based off things you have issues with.
Of course.
And my friend just looked at me as I was complaining, and he's the type of dude who just takes no crap from anyone. And he just looked at me straight in the face and was just like, why don't you just make one then? Just make a system. I'm like, you're right. And so I started my journey. I started working with Nova Archaic actually back then. So yeah, it's been a while, but I had to take some time off in multiple different instances of my life. I've been to college multiple times, getting multiple degrees and progressing my life so I don't have to not have food.
Fair, fair. And unfortunately, game design can't take the priority there.
Right. There was times where I was, like, staying at McDonald's on a laptop, like, for 24, 48 hours, just staying there, abusing the free drinks once you buy one to just work on the game at times when I was a college kid.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, once you're past that stage.
When you have more responsibilities and life starts to catch up and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, then it becomes a problem and you have to, like, suffer, I guess.
Yeah, no, but that's insane. It's been in development for, I guess, like, how many years then? It's
since 11 years.
11 years. That's insane. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. No, that's really awesome, though. Especially that you've, like, kept with it for that long, too. Because I'm definitely someone, I've switched from a lot of different projects. So, like, the dedication I can appreciate.
I mean, I can't lie to your face, and say that I've never jumped and did another project of something completely random. I've had friends come up to me and be like, hey, I have this game that I want you to finish when you have time here. Like, okay, cool. I got that on the back burner now as well. I made a random, stupid, anime-inspired... like one shot system, if you will, just to have something for when I want to do something anime inspired.
Yeah.
And like, I've done multiple different things since then. Just Nova Archaic would probably, if anything, it is there's a term for it. It's escaping me right now.
Magnum opus?
The magnum opus. It is my current magnum opus because it's a setting. That I've always wanted to not only just run, but experience myself. And I have had so much joy making it and thinking about it.
Yeah.
And so, like, I want to get completed with it so that it's just out there in the open. And then I can see the people have fun with it outside of myself. And, always, you know, work desire. On my next thing, right?
Yeah. Always got to keep moving forward. Always the next new thing. Always the next thing that makes your brain happy. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's so, I love that, though. And so I guess, like, I would love if you would, like, kind of give everyone a brief introduction of, like, what exactly Nova Archaic is. Because I definitely have some questions that I'd like to ask to get a bit more into it. But before we get to that, what is Nova Archaic for everyone who's listening, who don't know what it is, and, you know, all that?
So, it's really easy to kind of, like, get a grasp of it when you start thinking about it in terms of other things that exist. So, I could do that. But normally what I try not to, or what I try to do is just explain it more of just the setting, which is a modern day world. That is, while it is very much a system for mechanics, the mechanics are story focused, where each character, and I'm specifying character, not like main characters or NPCs or anything like that. Every character is unique,
Love it.
right? And handcrafted for the story within the context of the mechanics. The system is classless. But the kind of like thing that I normally like to tell people, the taglines, if you will, is it's a game that where you can cast spells, shoot guns, and kill gods.
Fun. It's a fun tagline. Absolutely. I love that. And so it is a modern setting. Is it like modern fantasy or is it?
Very much so modern fantasy. There is some there is some science fiction to it. I will say that I've tried to go, because of my personal interest, I love science fantasy, right? The combination of science fiction and science fa and fantasy.
I would have
But
never
I wanted
guessed.
to lean heavier on fantasy in a modern world than just, it's kind of both and really awkward with how it handles it, or more science fiction, because we have great systems to do science fiction. And I mean, as of recent years, we've gotten some better systems to do fantasies, but like being able to do both is hard and complicated.
Yeah, and I mean that's spreading yourself thinner. You're having to accommodate for different genres and all of these different elements when you could focus in more purely on, the modern fantasy, which I think is very, very fun. It's like, Shadowrun is more of that kind of modern but like futuristic sci-fi, but like yeah, and it's got that fantasy element in it. It's insane. Shadowrun's insane.
Shadowrun is definitely insane.
It truly is. But I haven't really seen too many like modern fantasy games specifically now that I'm like thinking about it. Especially more classic, I guess, fantasy,
Like it gets into, well, at what point do you classify things as modern fantasy or just whatever? Because I mean, I know obviously because you've talked about it, Monster of the Week exists, which is modern, does have fantasy, at least creatures, and I know that you can do some things weird, but not every character has to get into that weirdness because
And not
that's kind
every
of the whole
world
thing,
has to be that either, too.
right? And I mean, there's a couple others I could get into. Obviously, I talked about D20 Modern, which is older, like in and of itself. So it has some older th design things, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but there's a reason I didn't choose it for myself. And there, but I mean, yeah, there's not too many that don't also start throwing in things that maybe you don't want to have to deal with every time you run. Because like I'm also thinking of oh, what's that system where you all are like associated with some sort of iconography or deity or something? I
Are
can't even think of it right now.
Aegon?
No,
Like that's one.
City of Mists. City of
Oh,
Mist,
City of Mist. Yes.
which that
Oh
is
yeah. I mean, City of Mist
technically
is a
fantasy,
that would be fan
but.
like a modern fantasy type thing with more of noir themes and such.
Yeah, but it doesn't hit the sort of niches that I was going for in the sense that, like every character in that one is very important. One of the things that with my characters or the my progress is that I wanted the level one characters to feel like average Joe on
Yeah,
the street,
level one.
right? Right? Where in some of these other systems, when you start at, like as soon as you start, you are pretty decently useful and what, that's not the right terminology. You are still in your sort of like, this is who you are, and you're going to be solidly within that same power scope.
Oh, so having a little bit more wiggle room in like kind of deciding where your power will even be, like mm-hmm. over time, and not like putting yourself in a box mm-hmm. too early of like, hey, I want to be a magic caster and I have to mm-hmm. like, you know, lock that in initially when I play. So then when mm-hmm. you play later, you'll have to either, you know, adjust your class if you're playing a system with classes or playbooks or whatever, or mm-hmm. you know, multi-class things like that, since I've seen that a lot in D&D where people are like, oh, I actually want to do magic as well, so time to multi-class.
Yeah, right, time to multi-class, and then you kind of start sweating because technically the system isn't designed for multiple multi-classings, because multi-classing is actually just a side system that wasn't yeah. supposed to be included in every experience for D&D.
And then suddenly like everyone starts multi-classing. Yeah. It is a whole different, like, oh my goodness. No, and I mean, even with you saying, like, you know, wanting to do modern fantasy, that makes me think of a lot of people even, you know, using systems like D&D and Pathfinder to do modern fantasy games, too. Mm-hmm. But having something that actually supports it is so much better. And so mm-hmm. I love that, too, especially since it came from a system and setting that you wanted to play, you know, something that you were really desiring within your, you know, gaming life. And I'm curious, because now you've mentioned it several times, what, you know, you said that you messed around with D20 Modern. Okay. Why didn't it work for you? And what, like, why didn't it work for you? And what made you, like, what ideas even did you take from that you wanted to put into Nova Archaic? Hey everyone, it is time for the midpoint break in today's episode. I really hope that you are enjoying it so far. If you are, please make sure to follow the RPG Goblin wherever you listen to your podcast, so that you can be reminded whenever there is a new episode, which comes out weekly. And if you haven't yet, please make sure to give the RPG Goblin a rating wherever you listen to it. It really helps other people know that you're enjoying the show, and it just makes me really happy to see. If you want more behind the scenes and knowing what's happening with the RPG Goblin outside of the podcast, please make sure to follow me on social media as well. I mainly use Threads and TikTok at the moment, which you can find me on both at the RPG Goblin. I like to spotlight a lot of games in much shorter videos there. I also like to show off what I'm reading, and I like to talk about TTRPGs there, so join the conversation. Also, just as a reminder, the RPG Goblin does have a Patreon. And if you would like to see this show continue and you like what we're doing here with introducing people to new TTRPGs, please make sure to go support it if you can. It's only $5 a month for the lowest tier, and that will get you access to the RPG Goblin Discord server along with monthly TTRPG parties where we will have guests, giveaways, and generally awesome TTRPG conversations, since you can ask questions and, yeah, just have a really good time. The first party is going to be at the end of February, and I'm really, really excited for it. So if you want to know what that party is going to have in it, please make sure to follow the RPG Goblin on social media. Now, I appreciate all the support towards this show, whether it be through listening, following along with the podcast, or going and becoming a patron. It all means the world to me, and I want to thank you so, so very much.
So yeah, there's a couple things I could say there. I'm going to try, because actually, it's actually been a couple years since I last thought about D20 Modern, mm-hmm. but the things that I remember that I still have a passionate dislike for it would actually go that I don't like how they handled character creation, because mm-hmm. the characters was classes. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. D20 Modern, based off of D&D, right? Mm-hmm. It was made by wizards, it's D&D, but mm-hmm. in the modern setting. Mm-hmm. But instead of kind of coming up with actual archetypes to fit in for classes, like, I don't know, Gambler could mm-hmm. be one that would be really interesting for a modern day set.
Yeah.
They just had, at least in the core books, I don't know anything about the expanded books because I never actually owned them.
Mm-hmm. So no one get mad.
Yeah. So people, please. I'm stupid. It's fine. But a lot of the base classes was like strength hero or wisdom, like wise hero and smart mm-hmm. hero or whatever. Like, it was all based around kind of the primary attribute,
yeah,
or the ability score, but like that was all, and it wasn't really telling any sort of narrative of like, okay, but why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But why? Yeah, because like, that's cool, also, you don't want to always be a hero, too. Like, that's the thing, especially in a more modern setting. You can tell very interesting stories without being, like, the hero that has to save the day or anything like that too.
Right. And I will also say, like, at the time that I had made the decision, I was also falling out of love with class-based systems. Mm-hmm. Like, they have their own positives and negatives, and I can actually do a hour-long spiel about class design. But it just was not something that I personally thought was very good at the time. It needed mm-hmm. a lot of changes to be good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are still systems that do classes and they've gotten better.
Yeah. So, and there's new ways of interpreting it too, you know, with going mm-hmm. into playbooks, like those, even mm-hmm. though those are, you know, the same idea of a class or, you know, a main mm-hmm. kind of ability or a main theme, they're styled differently than what other classes have been in, like, you know, D&D and stuff like that. But yeah, I do like the idea of, you know, classless systems. So I don't think I've, other than maybe like Fishblade, which is Fishblade, we love it.
Yes, Fishblade.
But no, I think I've played some that have been classless, but they're not usually mm-hmm. like, you know, a bigger TTRPG. They aren't usually something that, you know, is something that we've played mm-hmm. for longer. So it hasn't been something I've experienced too much. So I am curious on how exactly, like, the character creation does work in Nova Archaic and, like, what the process of that is, because, like I said, I'm not very familiar with classless systems, and I'm curious on how it works within your game.
So I'm going to first preliminary discuss one of the core design philosophies mm-hmm. for Nova Archaic. I'll probably do this every time we bring up something.
Oh yeah.
Because absolutely, to me, knowing designer, like, whys is mm-hmm. very important to kind of, like, oh, I see what's going on there. Mm-hmm. So the main thing when it comes to character creation is that I want you, when you're done with character creation, with however long it takes you, to be able to go, I have a full grasp on that character's backstory. Mm-hmm. I know what motivates that character. I know where they are in their skills. And mm-hmm. I kind of have a good idea of where they want to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then to take that a step further, I want you then to be able to take that character, hand it to some rando on the street. They be able to read it and be able to go, yeah, no, that I understand what's going on here. Like, I can tell that this character has these sort of issues that, or maybe these sort of focuses. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously all wrapped up in a mechanical little bow to be able yeah. to be like, yeah, this fits for what I want to happen. Mm-hmm. That being said, there is a couple of different things that I kind of have to bring up. Because when you're building a system, you have to have a good idea about the setting.
Yes.
For me to have a good idea about the setting, there was a couple of issues I had to solve. And mm-hmm. so I kind of built them to solve. So before getting into talking about the character, I'm going to kind of sideline and talk about the setting a little bit. Is that all right?
Yeah, I am completely down for that.
Okay. So one of the core things about Nova Archaic setting is that our world is known as kind of the core world, right? Mm-hmm. It is how it is. There is no magic at the start of mm-hmm. the timeline of that I said in 2012 because of ironic of the whole the world is ending, as well as that's uh-huh. when I started the yeah. writing of the book.
I love that.
But then come to find out within the lore, there has always been magic. It's mm-hmm. just that because of something that happened in the past, that I don't go into detail because I believe that as GMs and story masters and all that, we kind of want to be able to put our own sort of spin on mm-hmm. why things happen.
Love it.
The world had to separate magic from itself. Mm-hmm. But the people who did it didn't know exactly what they was doing. Because, I mean, magic was studied, but it wasn't, like, advanced studies. Like,
yeah, and
it
that's was also kind of a like, pretty intense thing to do.
fine, yeah. So when they had done it, they actually split things into different realities called fractures.
Ooh, yeah.
So our world was the core world because it's where all of the fractures ended from.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, or came from.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, other fractures that exist, like Elfheim, which mm-hmm. is elves and other such things. I have one called the Scrapyard that is actually where you'll find things like gremlins, which are mm-hmm. actually goblins and gnomes that have been modified by the magical energies that exist within that realm. And then later on, like, I plan on adding in things like Atlantis is its own fracture.
Ooh, that would be fun, yeah.
And it was actually a place that separated itself before the world.
Yeah.
And just a whole bunch of different things. Like, and that would allow me to be able to, say, release a book in the future and be mm-hmm. like, here's another fracture. All yeah. the stuff you need to live and play with a character that's from this location.
And that gives a lot of flexibility for even people running the game to make their own fractures, too.
Exactly.
And what they think would be really fun.
Which is another actual pillar of my design is homebrew focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get into that later. But everything that I have, like I said before we got started, I have a little like notebook of how to design things and different ways that I'm thinking and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting that at the end of the book, essentially, of like how, if you want to make a new species, this is the sort of stuff you need to do. This is mm-hmm. how I balance them so that people can go, oh, now I can make my own species. Mm-hmm. If you want to make your own like traits, that's how you would do it. But we'll get into there.
I mean, just very now quick, I love the aspect of adding in a whole section of here's how to homebrew elements and here's how basically, mm-hmm. here are the rules that I follow. That's, I just mm-hmm. love that in general. So I
started as a homebrewer. Why wouldn't yeah. I have that? Like, it makes sense to me.
And it makes everyone else's lives easier too, because mm-hmm. then they have the actual kind of rules that even the creator is following mm-hmm. when they're, you know, going through the process of it.
I do think that it's because of my teenage anger. Of when I started homebrewing, because of back in 3.5 era, and I think it's true for even 5th edition era homebrew now, their only advice ever to balance anything was just eyeball it, and it just pissed me off so much. Just eyeball it. Does it feel like a third level spell? Like, I don't know, that's why I'm asking the question!
You're the professional. You're supposed to be able to give me some sort of guidance, please.
Right. Like, does that feel like a good racial option? I don't know. Please enlighten me. I think that it might be really cool, but at the same time, you're not telling me if...
At the same time, I'm not a professional. I'm not a professional game designer. You're the one doing this for a reason. Yeah, I can homebrew and do my own things, but I'm looking at you for guidance. Please help me.
Right. And I mean, yeah. So besides that, yeah, no, homebrew focus is a very mm-hmm. big thing. I want people to be able to homebrew and make their own stuff because honestly, that's why we do tabletops. Right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, we pick systems. They may spend hours have wonderful like comic books and actual storybooks for their settings, and it's wonderful and it's delicious. And then the GMs will take it and go, "That's cool, toss it away. I'm going to run my own game." So I would rather have a thread of a good idea and then being able to allow them to change what they want, or mm-hmm. being able to completely toss everything away and just do what they want.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
going to the original question, now that we've talked about the setting just a tiny bit, because mm-hmm. that kind of goes into the whole thing of it. When you start on character creation, you obviously need to find, like, you need to consider where this character is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be part of the core world? Are they part of Elfheim or whatever? There's multiple different things, but you kind of need to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, just figuring out that origin will give you a list of, well, what is the common species there,
mm-hmm.
or race options, or what is the rare options, or what is the, you know, uncommon, like things like that, right?
Yeah.
Every area has things. Like, obviously, in the core shard, common humans,
mm-hmm.
but, like, the rare species that may exist there would be goblins, gnomes, or hidden folk.
Mm-hmm.
Elfheim, you would see more elves, and well, I don't actually have elves directly yet, but you would see more actual fae-type things.
Mm-hmm.
And the scrapyard is mostly gnomes and goblins.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other species that exist, but for the most part, that's it. You pick one, choose a species from that, mm-hmm. and then you go to the next step.
Love it. And are those the fragments so far, you know, Elfheim, mm-hmm. scrapyard, and then the core?
Right. Yeah, those are the three that I wanted to develop first. And honestly, I'm mostly focusing on the core.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably do proper books for the Elfheim and then a proper book for the scrapyard mm-hmm. and kind of move things forward in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think
they could almost be like
of...
setting books even too.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, setting slash some mechanical options, mm-hmm. kind of like just going to throw it out there. The Pathfinder 2 splat books that they release.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the Pathfinder 2 splat books are a lot of lore, a lot of whatnot, but they will have character options within them.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like, quote unquote, buried, not really hugely yeah. buried.
Give
and that's
some
kind
options
of the
there.
Sort of, right. Too. So if you want to play a character that's based around that area, you have a good idea mm-hmm. of how to do that. And that will be
yeah.
the kind of same way that I handle that.
Love that.
That's
actually really fun.
Once you do picking out your species, you then go into picking out your character's culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get into like a huge definition of what cultures are. For the culture in the core world, if you're a human and you're in the core world, your culture is most likely what is called the world society, mm-hmm. which is just the you are part of the core world human culture.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other ones that actually didn't make it into current playtest book for the core world is the hidden, which are the more obscure species and kind of like how that modifies their culture because they have to do things. And then these culture decisions actually start doing your first bit of mechanical changes.
Yeah.
So things like what sort of languages you start up proficiency with. What skills you get, options to choose from,
mm-hmm.
as well as most every option in the background will give you sort of increases towards things like relationships, affiliations, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm always down for a game with relationship mechanics.
Oh, you will definitely like some of the other stuff that I have written for it then. And that just starts giving a little bit more splat into,
mm-hmm.
well, the mechanical bits of that character.
Yeah, it starts right? defining some things. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Then you actually go in to put in your human things, if you're a human. Like, I have information in there about, like, diet, because mm-hmm. that is a thing.
I remember seeing that with one of the yeah. with the gnomes, with being able, either they were able to eat metal or they could eat metal, something like that.
Yes,
I just remember sticking out.
Gremlins.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have been changed by the scrapyard, they can eat metal and actually need some light metal in their diet.
I thought that was just really fun. Like, even just flavor-wise, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't, like, you know, amount to anything mechanical wise throughout playing the game. Just the fact that it's there is just fun and makes me happy.
Yeah. The diet is definitely one of those parts of the system that it's not really hugely mechanically interesting, but like mm-hmm. it's enough there to where if you want to delve into diets and cooking, mm-hmm. you can do that.
And especially if you wanted to do something more survival-y too, you know, mm-hmm. knowing those types of things. And then, yeah, people can use it or throw it away, or I guess not throw it away, but ignore it if they want to. It's all dependent on
yeah.
the game that they want to play.
So I don't want to get too much into mechanics here, but I think another thing that I could talk about is that there's two different healths that mm-hmm. you start off with. There's physical health and spiritual health, just because there are different tracks that matter for it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously physical health is the one that's probably going to go up and down the most, though spiritual health can, especially when you're dealing with ghosts or something.
Mm-hmm. You know, common ghost encounters.
Common ghost issues.
Mm-hmm.
b- But once you've made those decisions, then you get into doing the fun bit. So I used to like to joke that you start up building a character in Nova Archaic as a level zero character because I always give them enough experience, IP or improvement points is actually what I call it, to spend up to get to level one. Because arguably you could start them with less and, have them start as a level zero nobody. But like they will definitely feel like a nobody if you do that.
Hey, some people like really slow burn games. Maybe they want to start at level zero and work their way up to getting actual like these actual mechanical stuff.
So without getting too deep into some of the weeds of things, I'm just going to kind of casually say, you get 20 IP to spend on your upgrades. There are four main things you can spend it on. You can increase your attributes or other game systems call them ability scores. You can increase your skills. You can purchase what is called traits, which gives you some sort of edges. In terms of this time period, when you're spending that first initial amount of IP, you can get a special type of trait called background traits, which, guess what they do? Just
Background. Yeah, flesh that out
they're
even more.
backgrounds. Yep. No, they flash out the background. You can grab things
Surprise.
like you succeeded in primary education. You got your high school diploma. Here's some benefits from doing that.
Hey, maybe it's important. You don't
Right, like maybe you have multiple master degrees you can spend for those.
Exactly.
And normally those sort of things, education will give you a lot of skills and some relationships. Then there's like occupation traits that you can get, which and that's another type of background trait, which just says what sort of jobs that you've had,
And are
right?
these more focused on like more of kind of the real world type things?
A lot of the stuff that I've designed have been core world focused stuff. So
No,
yeah,
that's
it's real
really
world
fun.
stuff.
I love
So
that.
yeah, you can get an occupation, say like one of them is criminal.
Of course.
Right. But it could also be like a fast food worker.
Yeah. I love it. Work at a restaurant. I mean, and it's just those kind of normal type things. And so I am a bit curious with it being, so rooted in like kind of, a normal modern world. What kind of stories is Nov Archaic like meant to tell?
I love Zero to Hero. When I say that, I don't mean the. Because a lot of people, when they say that, especially in tabletops, they normally mean from lowest character level to max character level. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. I'm talking about anytime you start off as a nobody and you save the world or something, or even a location. And that's kind of where a lot of the stories that I wanted to tell are at. That being said, I have done stories where like the characters are group members in a band traveling along the side
I
and
love
just
it.
living life, right?
Absolutely.
I've done actually I recently wrote some special magical basketball rules based off
Oh yeah, I
of
think I remember
the
you hearing
cla
it.
yeah because the Clash of Crits podcast, which great people, did a little thing in their podcast where they have this thing called and now my brain just said spell a spell bounce, which is just basketball, but what if magic?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, that sounds so fun, and I know Nova Archaic could do it. I'm building the rules to be able to run it in Nova Archaic now, and no one can stop
Yeah, no. No, they
me.
can't. You could do you make the rules. You're the boss. That's
I mean, they could force me to change the name, and that's fine. But like,
but
nah, they're
the idea
cool.
is still there. That's
Yeah.
the real thing. No, I love that. That's so fun.
But yeah, so you can run a lot of different stories as long as you can find ways of doing them. So, and I have a weird look on my face because I haven't talked about some other things. So I'm going to quickly jump back into that just so that I can make sure to say this bit. Because there was one other thing that you can talk about, actually get with IP, besides the background stuff. Mm-hmm. You can also get what's called specializations, mm-hmm. which is what I also call Nova Archaic's biggest lie. Because I said at the beginning of this, Nova Archaic is classless.
Uh-huh.
But yep. we do have specializations, which are arguably classes.
Mm-hmm.
But they aren't things you take at level one. Heck, you don't really get the capability of doing it till like late level two or at the beginning of level three, really, because mm-hmm. you have to meet certain criteria before they're even effective.
Yeah.
Or even like before you hit the requirements. But they change, and their design purpose is to change the base mechanics to be interesting for your character and actually give mm-hmm. you a specialization, like make yeah. you more specialized.
Mm-hmm. Which people like.
Right. And like, we'll get to a point where you can take multiples and start becoming so specialized that that's your build, right?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, that was the one thing with IP, but now jumping back to what I actually to talk about.
it's like that okay. Charlie Day moment in Always Sunny where it's like the yeah. molten board. Like, all right, yeah.
So, real side thing, just to finish out the conversation about making a character, mm-hmm. the next step would be equipment, which you do through method of wealth points,
mm-hmm.
which is just at the start, you get a number of wealth points. You can take those wealth points to purchase big items like having a house or renting yeah. a home or all that sort of fun stuff. Or you can take those points and using one of your occupations, converting them into cash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Because I like cash in my tabletops, not necessarily I'm wealthy by the 5-star system.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's supposed to simplify things and like, that's cool and everything. It's just, I like to have numbers.
Yeah.
I'm that type of dude. After that, the finishing touch for the character is actually defining character goals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually where the definitions of kind of the game that character is part of will also be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Every character gets 3 goals, but one of those will be taken up by the main story. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Because that kind of ties all the other characters together.
Yeah.
So for BS reasons, we're just going to say that I'm just going to say, like, if he was doing like the spell bounce or the magical basketball mm-hmm. sort of game, everyone's next goal would be something like defeating or getting to the championship yeah. or and stuff like that, right?
Defeating the rival team.
Right. Where their primary, like their own character goals could be something as simple as get enough money to save a family member who's mm-hmm. in debt or
yeah.
needs medical bills. Or could be something even more vain and just being like, I just want to make my truck look cool.
Whatever motivates your character. Actually, no, I like that because that gives me a little bit of Ironsworn a little bit where you have mm-hmm. those like, you know, kind of set goals and motivations that you mm-hmm. set up, you know, at the beginning of the game, but also throughout. And that can mm-hmm. help you lead the way of, like, you know, what you're following through the story with and, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. I like that.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. So the main benefit, actually, just because I want to talk about it, the main reason I have the goals is actually because that's how you get your IP in the progression.
Mm-hmm.
Is once any one of the party completes a goal, everyone gets 4 IP.
Oh, that's also a fun way to do it. It's a group thing instead of it just being mm-hmm. like individual. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to help everyone too get their goals.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, you don't have to succeed at either goal either, because a lot mm-hmm. of the ways I encourage people is to design them in an open sort of statement.
Yeah.
Questions are kind of better. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to make a statement of, like, this is definite what I'm shooting for, that's mm-hmm. fine. But, like, once you have accomplished the thing or gotten to the point where you can say that you've accomplished or where maybe it's just narratively the goal has to change because you've mm-hmm. spent enough time trying to do it, that is when you would get the 4 IP. and all that sort of fun stuff.
Yeah. So then you don't have to feel stuck of like, you have to accomplish this, you know, it has to go well or anything like that. It's got the flexibility so that you're not like, you know, this is the only way.
is the way. Right, right. And yeah, it's definitely done that way because sometimes it's not, because maybe you're searching for your long lost father or something. And you know, there's a really good narrative moment where you go and you get a lot of information, like you've been pointed to this one specific city, doing this like main fighter champion sort of thing. And so you and the team go there to like confront and find, but maybe you don't find them, or you get another big hint of where they're at. Maybe the announcement of sort of like the person who actually knows what's going on in some way. And like, that would be enough to satisfy that goal for the player to then, everyone gets the 4 IP, and then the player can choose how they want to evolve that goal.
Yeah. No, I like that. And even the concept of evolving the goal is really fun too, of like that it can build from there. So maybe, no, I like that. Because it can, it could be something of like, hey, I'm trying to find my father, and maybe you have the direction, and then maybe it can evolve to, I want to mend the relationship with my father.
Exactly. Maybe you find him, and maybe the father doesn't have actually any of his memories, so now you have to set up a goal to help them get his memories back. Or Exactly. Like, there's so many interesting narrative ways to do it, and that's kind of the thing, is like, you always want to have, the character needs to have two personal goals, and like I said, everyone needs to have one team goal.
And but I love sometimes the concept of the team goal too, because I have and I think this has personally come from some of the people I've played with, sometimes they feel lost in the way of like how to actually work as a team, and like almost what their whole goal is. If you put it in the narrative of like, hey, you are all going to set this up, you know, session zero or whatever, we're going to set a team goal. And even if it doesn't end up being, you know, the one that you follow throughout the entire campaign, it at least establishes, you know, this is all something you want to accomplish together, no matter if you have your separate, you know, goals personally, but this is one you're accomplishing together. And I love that.
Yeah. I will say goals have was always been one of my favorite things that I came up with mechanically, that I was just like, this is such a good way of doing things. Obviously things have actually changed slightly since I started them. But
I mean, that's just what's going to happen.
That's just the way it goes.
Yep. I love it. Now, this is very, very cool. Now, I'm actually curious, you know, with saying that, you know, how it's changed. Has there been a moment in Nova Archaic so far where you've had to, like, kill a darling? Something that you were really, really excited for?
Yes.
Multiple
times. I've killed so many darlings. Do not look under the bridge. Please, please. Oh, God. No.
Don't open the closet. There's no skeletons. I swear.
I swear. That's not a heart. Do you hear a heart? No. poor joke. Anyways, so I will say the number one darling I had to kill was actually one of the old resolution systems that I had. So I've always used a D20 for a lot of this. But I don't want to get in too much of the path. But let's just say, so I had a way of finding a task resolution where things was, you roll a d20 and you compare to a chart to find out how many successes you get. Of course, the issue with that is that it caused a lot of slag. Even though it was fun for the players, at every convention I went to a lot of college conventions to share the game and to get random ideas on it. People had fun with it, but it was slow. I could tell that that was what was causing a lot of slow. And even though a lot of players was having fun with it, I was just like, I gotta kill it. I hate this, but I have to get rid of it. There is also a couple other things that's happened. Technically, how traits function is entirely different to how they started.
In what way?
So originally, background traits were... So it was actually part of the background traits. There was no such concept of background traits as much as you still had a background, but you had a list of background slots, and you just wrote a sentence about each thing, and that's how you got your beginning IP. And I mean, that was fun, and it was kind of a nice way of doing it. The issue became that it just, there wasn't much mechanical interestingness bits from it, mm-hmm. because like there was no way for, I guess, for me to police what players were grabbing based on what they said their background was, and mm-hmm. I didn't think that the backgrounds really made any mechanical or really narrative bite mm-hmm. At that time, so I wanted to include them more, so I converted them into background traits, mm-hmm. which you then can spend for and get and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, which I think with the direction and of that, you know, the direction that you're going for Nova Archaic, I think that makes a lot more sense mm-hmm. versus, you know, writing it out, especially mm-hmm. since you want that mechanical weight with, you know, everything that mm-hmm. you're doing. You want those mechanics to be able to back it up, even if it has a narrative focus there. You still want mm-hmm. the mechanics to back them up.
And, like, I do that in that sort of way because, like, one of the biggest issues, again, I ran this game a lot of times in a lot of different versions in college conventions. Mm-hmm. And while the backgrounds and how they normally was handled or how they used to be handled was fun and fast for players to kind of like get really interesting characters. Mm-hmm. The issue is that it wasn't very newbie friendly mm-hmm. because just saying, hey, yeah, you have to write a sentence and kind of like give a story of why character exists. For this character to be fleshed out enough to have points doesn't really, like, that doesn't really mesh well with that sort of whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can agree with that even from when I started to play TTRPGs. I started with D&D. If you were to tell mm-hmm. me, hey, write, you know, your background and, you know, who mm-hmm. you were before we even started to play versus, hey, just pick from backgrounds that we already have established. I don't love how the background system works in D&D 5e, but...
Same.
You know, I can at least appreciate that was a lot easier to, you know, understand from someone mm-hmm. who is just getting started, who never made a character before. It's like, okay, you know, I can understand if I pick soldier, that means something. And, you know, mm-hmm. there is some weight there. So, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's even difference of people, too. Some people do have a better time being able to just write it down, be like, oh, you know, this person was once a noble princess, I don't know, like mm-hmm. but other people and people, especially with it being their first game, that can be a bigger struggle. So I appreciate trying to make it more friendly for people who are just getting started.
That is definitely something that I've tried to do is obviously, building a system that's probably more mechanics-focused, one of the biggest concerns is obviously complexity. Mm-hmm. But one of my design philosophies for designing complexity is the game should be as complex as the players want it to be. Mm-hmm. If you can understand the core, then everything else should fall into place with that mechanically.
Yeah.
Right? And that was just kind of a thing. Like, that's just the kind of way that I've been designing things is like, mm-hmm. if I can't explain it based off of the core mechanics, then I'm not going to have it that way. Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Cause it's not fun for like teaching this system, trying to be like, okay, so this is how this works, but it doesn't work in this way because this is how that works. And mm-hmm. you know, there's five different types of rolling a dice. Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm curious of, like, what is the core then? I mean, we've talked about, you know, the kind of the character mm-hmm. creation and even elements of the lore, which I still kind of want to get back into that a little bit since I found that very mm-hmm. interesting. But, you know, what is the core of Nova Archaic?
Yeah, so the core mechanic, core resolution system, is a very basic D20 plus skill. Mm-hmm. Not ability score, not anything else. It's a mm-hmm. D20 plus skill. You can get other modifications. Like, there are bonuses. I call the bonuses advantages and disadvantages. So it's not like the D&D advantages disadvantage mm-hmm. system. It is just what I call bonuses.
Yeah.
Right. That being said, when you roll a D20, you have a difficulty you have to hit. So you roll that d20, you add your skill, and you compare that to the difficulty. Mm-hmm. If you hit that number or higher, great, you succeeded.
Yeah.
Right? Very simple.
Now, I mean, most people are familiar with that.
So here's the thing, is that my system is actually a success counting system. So to find out the successes is actually you count the number of 5 over that you are R. So if you're 10 over, you would get 2 additional successes. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
And for every time you get a success over, you get this point called a metal. It's actually temporary metal, but that's an entirely different part of the system. Of like, what does that actually mean? Not going to get into that. unless you ask. But you spend metal to have critical effects.
Okay.
Right? So say that we're just going to use a very simple, you shoot a gun towards a training dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You roll a d20, you get, let's say 15. We'll say that difficulty was 12, just for the sake. So that means no successes. Mm-hmm. You roll your damage. Huzzah. You did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, let's say that you actually got 17, so you'd be 5 over.
Mm-hmm.
So you got 1 success. You got a temporary medal. With shooting a gun, the basic thing, with any sort of damaging capability, you can spend a medal to increase the damage by 1, which isn't much, but it's a number.
Right? It's something.
So, cool. Now I've done a little bit more damage to that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's transition that. Say instead of shooting the gun, we're going to throw that gun away, and you're going to cast a spell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're going to say that it's... We're actually not going to shoot a spell towards the target. We're going to cast a spell on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of thing. Difficulty is 11, but you roll a 16. Mm-hmm. The spell you're casting is Detect Magic, okay? Which will allow you to modify one of your senses to pick up magic. You choose what sense it is.
Yeah.
So yes, that means you would be able to taste magic if you wanted to.
Hey, I love it.
So with metal for casting that particular spell, it actually, if I recall correctly, you can spend metal to increase the length, the duration of that effect.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to cast it again on the next round.
Fun. Yeah.
And so just kind of like things like that. Each action will normally say what you can do with it if there is nothing, but it does have what is known as an effect die. Normally in your damages or your spells, you may be able to add your ability scores or your attributes, right? Your primary one.
Mm-hmm.
If you can add your primary attributes to that number, that means that you can spend metal to increase that. Metal is used to increase your attributes for those roles.
That's fine.
So shooting a gun, you would be able to add your dexterity. Mm-hmm. Attribute to if you have the traits to do so, like you're trained with gun. Yeah, cool. You'd be able to increase your damage to it in that sort of method.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the duration, that might be something that it specifically calls out, but maybe it does something else with an attribute. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping or actually moving is actually derived from your attributes of it is your species base plus half of your lowest of strength or dex to kind of like have a bounding system, if you will. But you can still spend a metal to go, I want to move faster if you had to roll for that movement.
Yeah.
There is ways to roll for movement, but normally you can just spend an action to just do a movement.
Mm-hmm. And do you have to spend those metals on the things that you roll or, you know, you succeed highly on? So let's say you succeed by like 10 on the detect magic thing on yourself. Do you have to spend all of those medals on just that, or can you spend those medals on other things?
Without getting too much into the weeds, the temporary medal lasts. The ones that you get on those will last until the end, until that action is satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So now getting a little bit too into the weeds. Is how the action system actually works. The way that the action system works is you spend or you get on the start of your turn, whenever that may be, you get three action points called vigor. That's just dictating how many actions you get. But here's the thing. Unlike other tabletops, you don't need to spend those actions on your turn. On your turn, you have what is known as priority. So you get to decide what happens on your turn when, in that sort of sense. If soon as someone does something, if it's on your turn, you have first priority to react.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fun. Yeah.
That means that you kind of want to hold on to your action points for not on your turn to react to other things. The reason why that matters is, say I shoot somebody. Cool. They have an action point, and they decide that instead of just using their base defenses, they're going to spend an action point to make that a rolled, like a roll-off sort of dealio. So my attack versus their defense roll. Because maybe they have some bonuses to, to rolling it, or they feel like that's the only possible way they could dodge out of my attack because I'm just that much of a marksman or something. Yeah. I don't know. And they get lucky. They succeed. They get a medal. Cool. They have actions. They now have a temporary medal that lasts until my action happens. So they could spend it on making that medal different, but maybe they have another action point and they want to do an attack right off of that. So you have an action that now goes on top of
you're that, stacking.
And then you can use those temporary medals to upgrade that effect even before knowing that that itself is going to go off.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I think I understand.
It's one of those things I feel is better explained when actually going through.
Yeah, when you but actually play and can experience it.
If you've played like tabletop card games, it's very similar in that sort of instance of just kind of that sort of action stacking. You know, priority, you do the thing. If not, you can hold on to your resources and do things later. I thought that was a better way of handling it because I have that dichotomy between what is known as an active skill check and a passive skill check, because all of your defenses are actually based off what is called a passive skill check. And it's very much like the D20 plus skill, except that it's just 10 plus the skill. And that will set up the armors and or the AC, if you will, for different attacks and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. No. Love it. Very cool. Yeah. And I like the fact that, you can also do things on other people's turns. Well, like, while that's still something you can do within, like, you know, D&D, there are very specific rules on, like, how those reactions can work and all of that and how they get triggered. But being able to actually, you know, affect something that's happening on someone else's turn is something I've always wanted in D&D and that I get in other games. In ways, obviously, there's not always, you know, very, very structured rules around it, but at least they kind of give that more of that flexibility versus D&D's like, hey, you have to get hit and then you could actually do something when it's like, but I have a shield and can save this person, please.
And I think the main reason I actually did, going back into like, why did I design it that way, was because I liked the idea of more tactical situations than just, you know, I take start my turn, I hit people three times, I end my turn. Because that's boring. I know that there's people out there who love it, and like I love you for loving it. If that's what you love, that's fine. I'm not going to make I'm not here to make fun of you.
Yeah, everyone's play styles are their own thing.
I like to have to think hard about what's going on, and then I fail miserably because I'm thinking too hard about it. That's what I want to do. I want to fail miserably.
That's how I have fun. No, that's like the perfect way to say it, though. Like, the way that you like to play TTRPGs is the way that you like to have fun. Sometimes people like to think, like, overthink every little thing, and when it goes wrong, it is painful. But that's fun for them. That's not fun for everyone, but that's fun for them, and that's great. And I love that.
So yeah, I got into the weeds on that. Sorry.
No, it is all good. And that's the thing, too, is that, you know, I knew that this was going to be a more mechanically heavy system, which sometimes can be hard to describe and talk about, since a lot of it can rely on actually playing it and getting a feel from it from playing the game. But I appreciate you doing it, because it's great to hear it. I am curious, though, and this is something I thought about earlier, of actually what, like, how many playtests you've actually done of Nova Archaic so far?
Of this current version or of the whole?
We'll do current version, and then if you have an answer for the whole, I'd love to hear that.
So the current version, as of version 0.9.2. Mm-hmm. Or X, we'll just say X. I have done just one session thus far with these current rules. Mm-hmm. That being said, the skeleton of just how Novark functions right now, so we'll say between this version and, we'll say 4 years ago, because I haven't changed much of the core system in 4 years.
Nice.
I did a huge rewrite, but it wasn't of changing any mechanics, but instead going, wow, I am bad at writing. Let me attempt to fix that.
The struggle.
Yeah. Which I'm still bad at writing, but I mean, I feel like the PDF's a little better to understand. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that version I have ran 2 primary games. Mm-hmm. One of them was a Digimon hack.
Oh, fun! I love Digimon.
And then just splashings. I don't know. Numerous amounts of splashings. And like I said, the big difference between these two iterations would probably be just content and maybe some minor changes between numbers or just balances of that sort of stuff. Because if you aren't adjusting numbers, then you're not really playtesting.
Understandable.
So yeah. And then as a whole, I can't tell you. There's too many. I've been working on the project since 2012. I could tell you I probably did a lot more back when I was doing con games, games at conventions. Because I would run at minimum 3 or 4 games a day.
That's crazy.
And then that was like each con could be 2 to 3 to 4 days, depending on where it is. I've never did anything at a big convention. It was always college conventions around me, but
that's maybe one cool, day though, that you were able to do that. I didn't even know that there were like college conventions like that where you could just, you know, run a game and people would actually play it. I guess
it really helps.
Yeah, because I mean,
I was, go ahead, I'll shut up.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that my younger sibling has actually, like, done cubing events, and I just realized, like, that may be kind of the same sort of idea. It was usually hosted at colleges and things like that, and a bunch of people who went there would actually, you know, participate in them. So, actually, that's really fun. I never, like, thought about that, of being, like, TTRPG focus or game focus in that way. That's fun. I like that.
I blame the fact that when I had gone to college the first time, I stumbled into the tabletop role-playing guild at the school, which was just a bunch of nerds, like 30 strong, and they did everything they could to be able to do a convention at that school every year, which was about 2-3 days. I think it was 2.5 days, technically. Mm-hmm. Starting on Friday, ending on Sunday afternoon.
So specific.
It was just timing because of needing to have enough time to clean up.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
maybe
fair.
It was like more like Sunday 4 p.m. or something, but it was still much brighter in the day than we was dealing with on the other days. And finding out that they did it and just kind of falling in with them on doing that, and just eventually to the point where I actually became president of that organization for a little while.
That's fun. I love that. No, that sounds so cool. I've gone to like a public games. Like I had a game shop up in Ohio that I used to. I mean, that's actually the whole reason I got into playing D&D is that I played there for the first time. But like, I've never been a part of like a little like, I guess, community like that of like, oh, we're just here to nerd out and play games. Other than, I mean, like kind of online now, kind of getting back into it and into more of the TTRPG space. But that's so fun. That's really cool. And so, do you have any like really like fond memories of any of the playtest games that you've done? Because I'm super curious.
Yes. I've had insane fun running games for playtests or what have you at conventions or not. That just kind of warms my heart when I think about it, like just the sort of experiences that the players did, the sort of stories that we've told, the stupid fun we had being a bunch of like college students at a college convention for some of them. But I think the things that actually warms my heart the most is not necessarily what happened at the table, but what after, the sort of stories I could like the sort of things that kind of had like that kept me going was little different things, that people said when they played the game that actually was genuine and you could tell it was genuine. Because like when you're doing playtests, you can kind of tell the difference between someone's genuinely saying something and like being like, this was so fun, just to be polite.
Yeah.
Or being actual like, man, this was amazing. Really good. And like those moments spoke out more, right? One of the fond memories of that feedback was, and what actually has led me to go deeper into it, the reason why I have a focus on background building for the characters, because one of the players, a random person at this convention, which sometimes a lot of the people that might have came by was just somebody who already knew about the system that, you know, had heard from me or had known me or whatever. It was just a random person who decided to come to the convention for that day just to, you know, see what was at this college convention, which was cool. They walked by my table. I was about ready to start a game and was like, oh, I want to play. Cool. Okay. Let's introduce, let's do a fun little tidbit. We did I don't even remember the story very much that I was doing. I think there was a cursed mirror that did something. I think it actually, if I remember right, did something with the, if you looked into the mirror, it would change one of your goals temporarily to like do something weird.
Oh, that's actually really cool. I like that.
But at the end of the game, what got me was they said it was so cool to be able to look at this character, look at the character sheet, and just know about this character, like to be able to tell the type of person this character was without needing to like have to write down my own little thing and kind of figure it out as soon as the one shot started, right? Like just being able to go, yeah, cool, this character has these sort of things, they've been through these sort of things. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the example though that you gave at the beginning with, you know, something that you wanted, your goal with the character creation. That's exactly it. So, oh, that's so cool that like someone said that and that it's been a driving force for you. That's amazing. I love that.
But yeah, when it comes down to it, I do have great stories and great systems, great like moments. Like I talked about the Digimon thing that I did. It was a Digimon hack, so technically it was Novarchaic, but I did have to hack in stats for the Digimon creatures.
Of course.
But that was such a fun game because I was able to run a game that I wanted to run for a while using Novarchaic, and the players got to be these Digi-destined and live through the story, and like it was just so fun.
No, that sounds like a blast. I love the idea of playing a Digimon game, and now I really want to play a Digimon game.
It's a lot of fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
No, that's so cool. And I'm curious though, you know, kind of going off of this with like the playtesting, has anyone outside of yourself actually run Nova Archaic, or have you been the only like kind of GM for the system?
We're going all through memory lanes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk about a time when Nova Archaic was not mechanically where it is now. I'm going to talk about back when it was actually closer to a D20 modern hack, because mm-hmm. we all started, when we start making something, we normally start with the things we hate and make them better.
Yep. of course.
So when it was closer to a D20 modern hack, one of my friends got really excited. They got really into it, and they decided that they wanted to run a Scion game where mm-hmm. everybody was a child of a god without using the Scion system, but using Nova Archaic. And mm-hmm. so they did that and had a lot of fun. From what I've heard, I wasn't part of the story at all.
I knew nothing
of how they was running.
Yeah.
but the only reason that I even really, like, I knew that he was doing it because they kept talking to me about it and like, that was cool. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, awesome. It sounds so cool that you're doing that. Let me make more stuff to support what you're doing. Yeah. 'Cause that's awesome. Another thing that's like, I've been living off of for a very long time is when me and my friends had decided to go to a Denny's diner at 2 a.m. in the morning, because just what you do when you hang out with your bunch of role-playing buds.
Yep.
I was stopped by somebody there, and they asked, hey, are you Kyle? You're the guy who made Novark, right? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, I love so-and-so who's running this game. Like, that's just been so much fun. I'm like, oh my god.
You got stopped? Yes. No, absolutely. That's so good. That's amazing. And I mean, like, isn't that like every game designer's dream, is for someone to, you know, play the game without them and then, you know, tell them about the experience and like being stopped? Oh, that's amazing. That's beautiful.
Honestly, I'm still chasing that high. I have never felt that good. Well, besides the backstory thing, but like, that is another, but like, if I could have that experience just one more time, let me bottle up that experience and sell that and make so much money.
No, I love that. That's so sweet. And like, and like, also what an amazing thing to happen as well when you were earlier in the production of the game too, you know, mm-hmm. when you were still working on it, when it was still a fresher idea. Even now, I mean, that would be amazing, no doubt, but like with mm-hmm. it being so early, like, that's so special. I adore mm-hmm. that. That's so cool.
Oh yeah. And there's been other people who's ran some games. Mm-hmm. Some of them I've not necessarily forced. I have a role-playing buddy. And it was kind of a running gag of us that we would make bets on random things, and I would normally win. And when mm-hmm. I won, it was like, okay, now you owe me a game.
Yeah.
And so he got to a point where he owed me like 10 games. And I was just like, just run a Novart game. And he was going to, and then we had a lot of, well, COVID happened.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I mean, just that.
And we haven't hung out since then.
Oh man, COVID.
Yeah, the killer of all good things. Now, but he just got started. He ran one session, and then, yeah.
Yeah, no,
it's okay.
I haven't played a actual in person game since COVID, and I'm just like mm-hmm. dying over it. I'm like, oh man, it would be so fun.
Oh, I would love to do and run a game in person again. My wife, bless her heart, made a GM screen for me, like, personalized GM screen.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to use it. One day I will be able to use it.
And hopefully that day will come sooner than later. Yes.
Right.
I mean, I even, like, even for the online games that I do, I even still set up the GM screens and just, like, trying to replicate the experience. Like, oh, it would be so nice.
might consider that if I wasn't using my screen to like have notes and stuff, and I don't really have the. I guess I do have the table space, but not for me to properly use it.
Yeah, I've like laid it out flat, like on this part of the table before, and I'll like move mm-hmm. my microphone over there, or I'll lay it flat in front of me, whatever works, mm-hmm. because like I want the information on the screen. But then it's like I need to actually still see the actual screen that I need to use to actually see either the people or whatever else we're doing. It's so
yeah. Silly. the screen that she made is actually not a like doesn't have information inside of it mm-hmm. as much as just allows you to hang pages up.
I would prefer that so much more because I have like three DM screens, they're specifically for D&D, mm-hmm. and yet I have taped over all of the information with Monster of the Week, Glitter Hearts, and I think Kids on Brooms is all in there nice. Right now, because it's like, I'm not nice. Running D&D right now, so I'm just going to tape it on there and use the actual thing that I have.
Yeah, which I guess is a little fun side thing to say, the dungeon master or game master for Novarchaic is actually called the story master because story I master. Focus on the story.
Yeah.
And wanted to kind of denote that while this is a game, your decisions that you make in this position focus on the story. Let mm-hmm. me focus on the game design in whole. If you want to make your own homebrew for your own game parts, mm-hmm. that's fine. But that's because you're doing that for the story.
Yeah.
Not because you're doing that because it's needed, because mm-hmm. that's one of the gripes I have with like some other games, cough D&D, is that they kind of like go, okay, but if you want to have mechanics that like do this thing, you have to design it because mm-hmm. we're not going to.
Yeah. And what we do and, design is a million subclasses.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
Or a million races that like all kind of blend together and have power creep out the wazoo.
That's how I feel with the subclasses sometimes too, because it's like, oh wait, yeah. it just feels like you could play like the same kind of class or the same type of build with totally different subclasses and main classes because there are so many that are so similar. And it's like, mm-hmm. what's even the point if you're playing a fighter? Like, yeah, it's cool to cast magic, but you're playing a fighter because you want to play a martial club. It's fine. But we're not going to get into that. But
yeah, this isn't a D&D bash stream. Or right, yeah, well, it's no. not a stream. when the streams that I used to do, I would actually... we would always just call it the dragon game, and mm-hmm. we normally ended up bashing on it a lot. We always kind of like stepped away, like we shouldn't be doing this all the time, but.
Yeah, I mean, like, I am very much of the belief, like, I don't want to bash on D&D, but I am allowed to share my feelings.
Right.
Because well, and if, as if you I said, the game, then like yeah. more power to you. I have my own gripes right. with it, and I don't want to play it for kind of the foreseeable future right now because I have a bunch of other things I'd like to try. But I have no problem right. if you enjoy it.
Yeah, no, like I said earlier, I love if you love it, then that's fine. I love yeah. you for loving it. That you go and do your own thing. A younger me, more. Butthole of me would say something along the lines of you're allowed to have your opinions even if they're wrong. No, but I used to say that all the time when I was just being a little snot-nosed brat.
You can reflect on your cringy yeah
younger I do past. It all the time.
Yeah,
I still have my gamer tag as discussed.
Never forget. No, I love it. Oh, goodness. But I honestly do think, though, we might be getting close to wrapping up here. I mean, I don't think it's sure. it's physically possible to cover every single thing about the game, unfortunately. I mean, that's even with every other game. It's terrible. But mm-hmm. this has really been great. And something that I would like to touch on before we wrap up, especially, you know, having the play test out and wanting other people to play the game and catching that high again. Do you have any advice for people who would like to run I almost said Novarchaic. That's not how any of this is said. Brain is fried. Novarchaic.
I feel that.
Yeah. But do you have any advice for people who would like to run Novarchaic for themselves and play in a game without you? Because that would be awesome to have again.
Like, I mean, it's just like, obviously, the big thing I would say for trying to play it, or any game for that matter, mm-hmm. is obviously find friends or randoms that, you know, are safe to play with, I guess, mm-hmm. that you want to play with.
Yeah.
Like, for specifically Novarchaic, come to my Discord, be like, hey, yo, I heard about you, and, like, let's to dig into that. I like have the rules posted on there. I have a not so smart character Google Sheets mm-hmm. character sheet on there. I have a couple of other things. I do want to make more items to help players grasp things. I just haven't had time to graphic art them mm-hmm. to be pretty.
That's fair. Sometimes you have to make them ugly first, and then you can make them pretty later. Right.
Well, sometimes you have to decide to what extent do you make the print small? No. how small do you allow print to be?
I mean, I am someone who's notorious for writing really, really small in my notebooks to try and fit in all the information. I wouldn't recommend it. It always seems like a good idea, and it's not.
It always seems like a good idea, and it never is.
And then you're like, I can't read that. I'm in the middle of running the game. Yeah. They're running into this NPC, and I wrote it this tiny. Oops.
But yeah, no, if you have questions, talk to me. I'm available more often than I should be, because I'm never, like, truly far away from Discord. Yeah, I mean, the only way to begin your journey is to begin.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Honestly, I think that's great. The only way to begin your journey is begin. If you let all of the things of, like, how to do it right, you know, that will hold you back from doing it. Then you'll never get to actually play fun games and have all these fun mm-hmm. experiences. So, like, absolutely, I love that. And obviously, like I said earlier, the links for, you know, all of Kyle's social media will be in the description. I will also make sure to put the Discord in the description as well. And hey, Kyle's in the RPG Goblin Discord as well. And you can totally talk to him there too. You can talk to him anywhere. It's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can totally see some offhanded design things that I was like, I don't know if I like this. Here, people, tell me what you think.
I think it's great, honestly. Those, like, I have not gone into game design much, but I think those are fun moments to at least, like, think about it a bit more is through, like, hey, I need help figuring this out. Okay, we can talk about it.
Yeah, and I'm very much a type of designer where I like to, for lack of a better term, percolate about different topics. I do like, okay, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I need to think about this for some time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do other things while thinking about it and see if something glorious happens.
I love it. Fantastic. And I mean, like, one more thing, though, before we fully wrap up. Is, you know, through all of the development of Novarchaic so far, what makes you the most excited about this game?
The thing that makes me the most excited mm-hmm. is the idea to share it with others, to find yes. some other people that would love to play it. I don't even care if, like, I'm eventually going to try and sell it as a product, sure. Mm-hmm. Fine, but honestly, I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to think that this is true for every designer out there, because it's not true for every designer. I'm just a weird dude who already gets his money from a normal paycheck. If people pirate my game and still play it and have fun, that's fine with me. Mm-hmm. Go on, have fun. I don't care, as long as you have fun, and then just tell me about it. I don't care that you pirated it. Just tell me, hey, played your game, it was cool. Like, awesome! I'm not going to be like, okay, but, like, how did you get it? No, just, have fun!
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting a little...
You're passionate.
Yeah, like, that's all I care about mm-hmm. is, like, to find people that also enjoy it. Because, I mean, honestly, when it comes down to it, like, that means, like, A, I'm going to find people that also enjoy these mm-hmm. types of stories, and that means that I'll hear more about these types of stories and these worlds yeah. and stuff, and like that's honestly something, because to me the market is oversaturated with normal fantasy stories. Like, I don't care. Like, don't get me wrong, those are fun in their own right. But, like,
not everyone's
Right, like, I want to hear some modern-day shenanigans. I want to find out, like, the time when you and your friends, like, used cell phones and casting invisibility to, like, sneak into the mafia vampire kingpin's domain to then have a tactical SWAT team swarm down and stop these bad guys. Like, that's cool. Tell me that sort of stuff. Right?
I love that. Yeah, and totally normal everyday occurrence. You know.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't fought a vampire mafia man?
Yeah, and had a tactical SWAT team, you know?
That may have only happened once in a game, but, like, it just happens once, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, you just have to tell me about the one time.
Maybe you accidentally or on purpose send a giant magical turtle to space by giving it magical cocaine.
Personal experience?
Con games.
That explains it.
Yep. People are just a little bit more unhinged during con games.
Oh, for sure. I mean, everyone's running on, like, a high during, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everyone's unhinged during cons. I mean, like, right. I've never gone to an actual tabletop convention, but, like, even just the anime conventions I've gone to, it's insane every single time. So, like, just expect it, which I can appreciate that. I love it. It's so good. Send a turtle to space. Magical cocaine.
Yeah. The turtle was going to destroy a city. It's fine. It's normal. Maybe you have a leviathan creature that's floating in the world that's going to destroy a magical tower that's made of pure crystal and magic. Like, I don't know. That's fine. Like,
yeah. It's a possibility. You know, they're endless.
All of these have actually happened in games, and I'm just kind of rattling them off. I could go on forever.
It's great. It's great. No, I love it. I have a full segment of just rattling on different really weird, vague stories that have happened. Absolutely amazing. But I think we are probably going to wrap up here, though. No, this has been...
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I know. It sucks every single time. I hate it, but I don't think everyone would listen to a 3-hour podcast if I released it.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, like, it would be awesome, but...
You just gotta cut it in chunks.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. No, but this has been seriously awesome. Thank you so much, Kyle, for coming on and talking about Nov Archaic with me. This was absolutely fantastic. I am very excited.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I'm excited to look further into the playtest as well, because I know I've seen it around, and I've looked at some of the stuff that you've shared within the Discord, and I've looked at the playtest a little bit. But, you know, getting more experience, hearing more about the game just makes me more excited to do it. So I can't wait for that. Yeah.
And if only you out of this entire discussion look at the game, like, that's good enough for me. Like, that's all that matters.
Just someone
more person to look. Just I'm chasing that high here.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, I definitely will be. But no, seriously, thank you so much. And for one last time before we wrap up here, can you tell everyone where they can find you? And I will emphasize, I will have the link for the playtest or to get the playtest in the description of this episode as well. Because again, ease of finding everything, all the links, all the important links will be in the description of the episode. So yeah, go ahead. Oh, sorry.
You can find me behind shoot no I'm on a lot of social medias, like Zitter, Threads.
Sorry, that's just the first time I've heard it called that.
Well, I'm not going to call it X, and I don't want to call it Twitter, because that's its dead name.
I've heard people call it Twix before.
Twix, I will accept that. But no, it's Zitter, right? Like, it's X Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a name.
where did I say? I guess Twitter, you can also find me on Facebook, but like, it's fine. You can just find like Twisted Crystal Games at twycry.com. I do have a website. I don't audit it very often, but like it does have information there. It does have all my links, or at least some of my links. I'll be honest, I do keep some of my designing things, which a lot of my social media is more of as a designer and not as a game company. Almost hey, I mean, I'm just everywhere.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, but awesome. No, this is great. And also, I just heard it start to thunder outside. So, which may be wrapping it up because Florida sucks. And very often when it storms, the power goes out. It happened middle of an episode before. It was terrible.
Oh no, that sounds horrible. I hate that.
Yeah, it was a very interesting time. Hey, the Twilight 2000 episode was very interesting in many ways. Power gone out in the middle of it, had to record it for a second time, pretending like nothing happened. Everything's okay.
Oh no. Oh goodness.
Adam was a great sport. But yeah.
Yeah.
No, this was seriously awesome. Thank you so, so very much for coming on. Thank you everyone for listening. Please go check out Nova Archaic, even if it's just again, checking out the PDF, seeing if it's something that you're interested in and a game for you. Go do it. It doesn't cost anything to just go check it out. Go join the Discord, ask Kyle questions, see what this game is all about, because that's what everything that we do here is really about, is just checking out these awesome games. So thank you so much, Kyle, and bye.
Bye.
Huge thank you to all of the Patreon supporters and Kyle Adderson for being our $20 patron who gets their name shouted out at the end. Thank you.